Thank you, Thomas. You may be seated if you're not doing so already. The title of the day's message is called Results of the Resurrection. You can find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's where we're going to be. The scripture will be on the screen here in just a minute, but just want to take a second, and if I missed it before, I got all excited about saying Jesus is risen. I think I said welcome. If I didn't... Welcome. Welcome to you online. Welcome to you if this is your first time here or if it's your first time in a long time. It is an honor to have you here. I love looking out and seeing all these faces around. So the next question will be, where are y'all at next Sunday? All right, so back here, 11 o'clock. That's what it is. So normally, we've been going through a series called Good News. We've been going through all four of the Gospels, and I didn't put the Good News slide up there because this is kind of going out of order. We're not actually in one of the four Gospels. But if there was ever a message that is good news, this is it. All right, when we talk about the resurrection of Jesus, this is good news. It's great news. I think good is not even the right word for it. It's fantastic, phenomenal, excellent, whatever. I don't even know what part of speech I didn't do well in English. All right, it's great news. All right, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is where we're going to be. Starting in verse 1, it says this, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12, and then he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, all of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, and by all the apostles. Then last of all he was seen by me also, as one born out of due time, for I am the least of the apostles, also who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed." Verse 12. "Now if Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we of all men, the most pitiable. Verse 20. "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are in Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God to the Father. Then he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he's put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death, for he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Excuse me. Now when all things are made subject to him, the Son of himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, open our hearts, open our minds. Help us to receive what it is that we need to receive. God, help us to apply it in our lives as we need to apply it. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. Now, there are some results, some benefits, some pluses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the first thing that we see from this passage of Scripture is, number one, the resurrection is central to the gospel. As I said, if you want good news, this is the good news. It was good news that Jesus was born. Amen? It was good news that he lived a perfect, sinless life. It was great news that he went to the cross, shed his blood for our sins. But if it stopped there, then the gospel falls short. Because it is good news, it is great news that Jesus is alive. Because see, Jesus wasn't the first one to be crucified, was he? Many men had been died. Matter of fact, Jesus was sharing the cross with a couple of guys that day, wasn't he? Thousands of people had been crucified before Jesus. Thousands were crucified after Jesus. This wasn't anything special for him. Although, according to prophecy in the Old Testament, the mode of crucifixion was about the only one that meets all the requirements of prophecy. Did you know that? Frying somebody in an electric chair is not going to do the same things to the body that crucifixion does, that what Jesus endured. Other civilizations didn't treat their prisoners and do things to their prisoners like Rome did. Remember, Scripture says, by his stripes we are healed. Where did he get his stripes? Well, he got his stripes from the flogging he took before being crucified. By his wounds, his feet, his hands were pierced. But there's only one who's got up from the dead on his own. Now, you could say, wait a minute, Jesus did many miracles, didn't he? We know he raised people from dead. Jesus never preached a funeral, did he? Wouldn't that be fun? Go to funerals today, have the pastor walk up to the casket and go, get up. And the person go, okay. Wouldn't that be fun? I'd be scared to death. Would you shake that pastor's hand afterward? No, sir, don't touch me. But that would be amazing. I mean, that's what Jesus did. Don't worry, Jesus, don't bother the master. She's already dead. She's just sleeping. look at her. She's dead. She's not breathing. She's dead. She's sleeping. This guy's nuts. What did he say? Get up. What'd she do? She got up. Little girl, hey, I'm alive. Lazarus. One of my favorite stories, and we go through. I love telling it to students. It's probably one of my favorite verses in the Bible where it says, he stinketh. That's the King James Version. Because that's what happened. He'd been dead 4 days. 4 days. 4 days. And they didn't have embalming methods and stuff like we've got now. They sprinkled some, you know, cloves and different spices on you and stuff like that, wrapped you up, put you in the tomb. After 4 days, things were starting to get, you know, a little ripe around there. Jesus walked up and says, move the stone. And everybody went. People over the tomb went, is he talking to us? The sister went, Jesus, he smells bad. Might not want to do that. Move it. What happened? Lazarus, come forth. What did Lazarus do? He came out, didn't he? Still wrapped up. Hopping out the... Could you imagine? Unwrap him. What? See, Jesus didn't preach a funeral. He raised the dead. But he raised the dead. He performed a miracle in every one of those situations. As God in the flesh, he's the one that spoke into it. This time, he was the dead man. Dead man can't speak to himself, can he? I haven't been around a whole lot of dead people, but I know sometimes they do make noises and stuff like that, but they generally don't tell themselves to get up, do they? And if they did, check something. Pulse. Jesus did not stay in the grave. This is central to the gospel message. See, Scripture said it will happen. Jesus himself said it will happen. He says, if I destroy this temple in 3 days, I will rebuild it. And of course, they didn't get it. The religious leaders go, that's a big building. Number one, it took us years and years and years to build that. How do you go build it up in 3 days? Jesus, I'm talking about myself. Jesus' resurrection has been witnessed. Eyewitness accounts. Paul gives a list of who witnessed it, didn't they? Scripture was one of the first witnesses. Scripture testifies in the Old Testament that he would raise from the dead, as it is written in the Scriptures. See, Jesus had to rise because the kingdom of David has no end. Now, unless Jesus returns, everyone in this room is going to die at some point. Sorry, cheerful thought, right? For us as believers, it is a cheerful thought. I mean, I'm not ready to hand in my ticket and get on the bus right this minute, but some point in my life, thank you, Jesus, come and get me. Amen? Long time. Unless Jesus returns. That's the only way we get out of avoiding death right now, physical death. So the kingdom has no end. Jesus is alive. All the apostles saw him. Hundreds of witnesses. See, and think about that. It wasn't, Jesus didn't just appear to the upper room and there was like 10 guys sitting there going, what are we going to do? There were hundreds of people crammed in that upper room. Jesus walked around the earth. It wasn't like he popped in on Easter Sunday and went, all right, 6 o'clock today, I'm out of here. For 40 days, he appeared to people. Lots of people saw Jesus. It's central to the gospel. Thousands upon thousands of people have laid down their very life stating this very fact that Jesus came, died, and rose again. When kings, when dictatorships, different countries, different ruling authorities all looked at those people and said, you don't say anything like that. Religious, even religious leaders say, that's blasphemy. You change that story. I can't. It's the truth. Jesus is alive. Number two, the resurrection is the foundation for our hope in Christ. The foundation for our hope in Jesus Christ. As I said, many have been crucified. Jesus was the only one that didn't deserve it. You know that? Even if one of the thieves on the cross may have actually been innocent, quote unquote innocent, because man lives in a fallen world, no human being is innocent. Every human being born on this planet deserves death. Did you know that? That's the wages of sin. For the wages of sin is what? Death. That's what we're guilty of. But Christ came to pay that. Our hope is found in that payment. In the resurrection that closed the book. See, the crucifixion paid the debt. The ledger, all accounts paid. The resurrection closed the book, took it, and threw it away. So we don't even have a record of it anymore. It's the foundation of our hope in Christ. Our hope in this life. It's the reason people can go around and boldly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, not for fear of death. As believers, should we be afraid to die? No. Again, do we want to? No. We want to serve God as long as we can on this earth. Are we afraid of certain ways of dying? Uh-huh. Drowning? I don't want to do that. I got a whole list. My list gets longer every year. I don't know, I get a little crazier for some reason. Fear starts to creep in as you get closer to actually having to deal with some of that. But in this life, we have hope because of the resurrected Christ. We have a God who lives. Think about this. If we had a leader that tells us to do something, we're supposed to follow him, but then he's dead, how can we follow him anymore? Can we? I mean, if you're out walking in the woods, right? And you're following me and it's a long, I mean, like you're talking 30, 40 mile hike, right? And you're following me. You're in trouble. Number one, what were you thinking? Because I guarantee by mile one, mile two, I become a two-year-old. I don't want to go any further. By mile three, I'm sitting down somewhere. And if I stop going, do you keep going? You don't know the way either. What if I'm the only one who knows how to get there? Or do you wait on me? Forget if I'm walking and we're hiking up in the mountain somewhere, and that uphill climb just gets to me, and I'm done. I'm dead. How are you going to get there? But see, because Jesus is alive and we're supposed to follow him, we could follow a living God, can we not? He's with us every step of the way. He says, I'm with you always. We have nothing to fear because Jesus is alive. We have nothing to fear in this life. We have nothing to fear in the next life. Because if he's alive, guess what? So will we be. We have a hope. Number three, the resurrection has defeated the enemy. I don't know. I really don't want to be around the devil, but I almost wish you could watch a video of the devil's reaction on Easter Sunday. Because I have a feeling on Friday he's going, yeah, I got him now. He wouldn't listen to me. He wouldn't yield. I offered him everything. He wouldn't listen. He wouldn't follow me. I'm going to have him killed. Look at that. They killed him. These people that I've been leading astray all along, I've been blinding their eyes, hardening their hearts. Nothing. I got him now. Jesus was on the cross. The world went dark for hours. And all of a sudden, an earthquake. The whole ground began to shake. And Jesus said, it's finished. He bowed his head and he breathed his last. And as the world began to weep, Satan went, yes. I've won. God went, not so fast. Just wait a minute. Saturday. And there's an old song by a singer who unfortunately passed away recently, Carmen, back from the 80s. And say what you will about 80s Christian music, but Carmen was, it was awesome. All right? He's got a song called Sunday's on the Way. And he spells this out, you know, the demons are having a party and the devils, they're all having a good time. And all of a sudden, the devil's starting to get nervous because he's going, wait a minute. You know what? Somebody told me once that he was supposed to rise from the dead. Grave, can you check on him and make sure he's okay? And the grave is going, devil, I got him. I've never let anybody go. Yeah, all right, I know he's pulled a couple people out, but he's dead. He can't pull himself out. I got him. Are you sure, grave? Yeah, I got it. But then Sunday morning, as the dawn begins to break, another earthquake. Roman soldiers scared literally to death, frozen in fear. As the stone is rolled away, Jesus gets up, walks out of the tomb. And I wanted to see Satan's face at that moment. I couldn't even imitate what it could possibly be. I'm sure there's some point in my life, some Christmas present I thought I was getting, and I opened a box, and that sheer disappointment, that wasn't it. Multiplied times 10,000. And see, if I was teaching all youth right now, I'd probably just throw myself down and go, no, you know, but I don't want to scare y'all. The resurrection has defeated the enemy. Satan is done. For the wages of sin is death. Death has been defeated. Satan has been defeated. Sin has been defeated. See, as believers, the enemy cannot hurt us anymore. The enemy has no access to us when we're in Christ. So why, when we do baptism, we baptize. We take the person, I bury you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried in death to the old life, raised to walk in the newness of life. See, when we come to Jesus, when He comes into our life, when we receive Him, our old self, our sinful self, our dead self is buried and is no more. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, that enemy is done and we are raised to walk as a new creature, a new being, a new believer in Christ Jesus. Resurrection has defeated the enemy. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit corruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Let me say that again. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. In a moment. In a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and shall be changed. For this corruptible we must put on the incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on the incorruption, and the mortal has put on morality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, here it is, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, hell or Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The resurrection assures us victory now and in the end. The resurrection assures us victory in the end. As I said before, unless Jesus returns, we will all taste death. But we don't stay that way, do we? The phrase, some will sleep, I love that idea. Because that's what it seems like. Our physical body sleeps while our spirit stands before God. Death is swallowed in victory. We talked earlier about hope. We talked about how we have victory. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That gives us that victory, that hope, to know that my Father, who died of cancer, standing before the throne of God. My mother, who had a heart attack and died, is standing before the throne of God. It's the hope in the resurrection that says, I will see my daughter again. It's this hope, it's this victory that anyone in here, and we've all probably lost somebody, if they are a believer in Jesus Christ, it is this hope, it is this victory that says, we will see them again. When we join together at that sounding trumpet, when all flesh is raised to life, we are made incorruptible, we are made immortal in the presence of God. The resurrection has changed everything. We have victory. We have victory over death. We have victory over the grave. Thanks be to God. And it's here for everyone. I keep saying that if you are in Jesus, if you know Jesus, that's the only caveat to this. You don't have to give a certain amount. You don't have to attend church so many times in a month or in a year or in your lifetime. That becomes part of it because you want to, not because you have to. The only have to you have to do is when the Holy Spirit says, I am talking to you. You need Jesus as your Savior and Lord, and you feel that stirring inside to say, yes, Jesus, I will give you my life. I will give you my all. Scripture tells us He is faithful to forgive us of our sins. And then if we confess with our mouth and believe with our hearts that we will be saved. What do we confess? That Jesus Christ is Lord. That He was crucified. That He was buried. And that He lives again. You have a living, breathing God that is calling out for you to take His hand and to join Him. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior today, we're about to sing a song. And it's not going to be your typical, if you've come in for an invitation type of song, although it is a great invitation. I think it's more of a kind of response to the Word of God. Whether you just listen to the words, whether you let the Holy Spirit speak to you, whether you know the song and want to sing it out. The song is called Death Was Arrested, meaning death is done, death is no more. It begins with allowing yourself to die to your sins and to be raised to new life in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Holy Spirit, I pray that You just speak this morning to those that are here. If anyone needs to know You, the altar is open. We're here. Today is the day. Move on their hearts, Lord Jesus. God, we thank You for the hope. We thank You for the joy, the promise that we find in the resurrection. Jesus, in Your name we pray. Amen.